let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us. Drug addiction has been a growing problem in America for decades. Yet, the U.S. boasts one of the most successful drug awareness programs ever developed. So how can the crisis be this dire? What retired lieutenant, police detective Joseph M. Kress discovered over the course of his career will leave you stunned. What he witnessed was anything but a battle. Instead, he saw mismanagement and apathy from elected officials purporting to be waging war on drugs. Joseph resolved to take the matter into his own hands. He's the author of Single-Handed, a semi-true story of a cop turned vigilante, a harrowing and deeply moving account of one man's fight against drug abuse. His Drug Awareness USA.com program was started to save students from the destructive lifetime of addiction and overdose death. And Joseph Kress is our guest on This Week in America. Joseph, welcome to the program. Important message. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Rick. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity.
It is so impressive what you've done in your career now retired as an author in writing this book, Single-Handed. Let's go back to how this career began for you in law enforcement. This was personal for you when you got involved, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. My older brother got married on Valentine's Day in a candlelight ceremony, and they were going to go to Hawaii. But unfortunately, the weather dictated that they weren't able to fly out. So they sat in Erie, Pennsylvania for 3 days, and they changed their plans, and they ended up in New Orleans, where a career criminal and his co-conspirator set my brother and sister-in-law up, and later in that evening, they robbed them, and my brother was shot and murdered. My sister-in-law was brutally stabbed. They slit her throat, but by the grace of God, she survived. And the police were able to apprehend these people within minutes after it took place.
It's such a harrowing story. And because of that, that was the impetus for Joseph to join the police department. He's the author of Single-Handed. His website is author Joseph M. Kress, KRESS.com. And you'll find out more information, of course, as we go and be interested in the book and what he is doing for drug awareness in the country. That is a big step. And you went to the police department, became a law enforcement officer to try to help. Talk about that. What positions did you hold as a police officer, and what did you find when you got there?
Well, originally I became a police officer because the man that murdered my brother was a drug user. And unfortunately, my brother did not recognize that when he was socializing with this couple during the Mardi Gras. And my brother was only married 10 days before he was murdered. And it really left a serious impact on my family and myself. So I became a police officer. And during that time, I was in the patrol division. Then I ended up on a special tactical unit within 2.5-3 years after I became a cop. Then I was a detective sergeant. And then I became a lieutenant. And I was a sniper on the SWAT team. I was the head of the narcotics unit. I also I was deputized FBI, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, DEA, ATF, and Secret Service. I worked with all of those federal entities while I was a lieutenant with the Erie Police Department.
So this really gave you a good background, a good look behind the curtain to see what's actually going on the streets in the drug war. We hear a battle against drugs, and I mentioned what you saw was not a battle. Were you shocked? Were you surprised? Or what was your reaction when you got inside the police department and saw maybe not enough is happening to put an end to drugs?
Well, you know, law enforcement works hard to try and apprehend people who are trafficking drugs and people that are using drugs.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it takes more than that in order to stop this drug trafficking and this drug use that the United States is under. We've been literally fighting this, quote, war on drugs, which is a joke, since the 1960s. And we've apprehended tons of people. You know, law enforcement puts their life on the line every single day. I know that especially because I was shot during the course of a drug raid. A guy shot me through a closed door, and it hit me in the thigh, and it missed my femoral artery by less than an inch.
Wow.
But when this took place, I mean, you know, we arrest people, we put them in jail, we try to get drug users some help as far as, you know, getting off of drugs and things like that. But our number one problem in the United States is that we do nothing as far as education. In Pennsylvania, particularly, there's a law, 1547, says that all school kids in middle and high school have to be given lessons on drug prevention every single year that they're in middle and high school. And most of these schools don't do that. There is next to no education so that kids understand that this drug trafficking, this drug addiction that they may be coming involved in is going to destroy their entire life. And, you know, unless there's proper education, and in order to do that, you have to have state and federal money. And, you know, the state and the federal laws actually prohibit schools from being mandated to put drug and alcohol prevention programs in schools. So with that being said, you know, kids think that they can experiment and use drugs because they don't realize the addiction process is so overwhelming.
The book is called Single-Handed. We'll talk specifically about the book. This is the story. Some of it's true, some of it's not. The book is riveting. It will give you a behind-the-scenes look, and it's just a dramatic read that Joseph has put together. Joseph Kress is our guest, K-R-E-S-S. His website is authorjosephmkress.com. Like I'm going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You created your own drug prevention program. Talk about that, what you put in that, and then the website, because your website does as much as any website, probably more, to try to get people in a prevention stage rather than afterwards when they're dealing with the addiction. Talk about the program you put together for the schools.
Well, years ago when I was a lieutenant with the police department, I was requested by one of my federal co-partners that they asked me if I could do some drug and alcohol speeches at schools, because I'm the only person in the Western District of Pennsylvania to ever be invited to the DEA Drug Unit Commander's Academy in Quantico, Virginia. I had the blessing of being able to go to some of the best drug schools in the United States. I've been qualified in federal and state court 85 times as an expert in the field of drugs. My education in drug and alcohol addiction and drug and alcohol trafficking is very, very, I've been down all those roads. So unfortunately, you know, when I was doing the presentations in schools, we would have 600-700 students in an auditorium, and I was paying four other people to go with me, two drug addicted people, one drug user or drug dealer who is now reformed. He doesn't traffic drugs anymore, but I was paying another police officer to go with me. And we were taking these people out of prison in handcuffs, leg irons, and we were taking them to schools. And these people would tell their story about how drugs destroyed their life. And it's a very, very in their face. It's not scared straight, but it's laying the facts on the table. And it was fortunately extremely effective. You know, I've had principals, school resource officers, teachers, and students themselves all rave about my program. And it was unfortunate that during the program, just about every time we put on 106 live presentations, and I paid for that out of my pocket. But the thing was, during every presentation, one or two young ladies would jump up in tears running out of the auditorium, and you literally could hear a pin drop in that auditorium. And these students were focused on every word. After one presentation, a young lady went up to one of the deputy sheriffs that was a school resource officer, and she handed him 7 or 8 marijuana pipes and a bag of marijuana, and she trusted that he was not going to arrest her. She gave that stuff to him, and she told him, I'm done with this. I don't ever want to have it in my possession again. And he told me a couple months later that he saw her and she was still drug free.
Amazing.
So my program does have a tremendous effect on young people. And it's only fair to them to let them understand before it becomes a problem of addiction what they're getting into, because none of these middle and high school kids understand the power of drug addiction or alcohol addiction.
You showed it to him in a way that was believable. Here is this cop who is coming in and making this presentation with the people he has brought with him. And obviously, it was a presentation that captured their attention. You have a website now where you focus on a lot of those topics. It's really an excellent website. What is the website people can go to get more information on your programs?
www.drugawarenessusa.com. I actually put up a website to kind of promote this drug awareness program because it is such a powerful program. And, you know, I worked for years to try and get this into our schools and into our schools so that middle and high school kids understand what's going to come down the road for them if they get addicted. I've interviewed hundreds of people that were drug addicted. And not one of those persons ever looked at me and said, you know, I've never done drugs. I've never done alcohol. I haven't been involved in any of that stuff. But today I'm going to get some crack cocaine and smoke some crack. It doesn't work like that. It starts out by a beer party. When these young kids in middle or high school, they get a couple six packs of beer, yeah, or
yes,
a case of, and that's when they're drinking and their ability to say no is diminished, because the alcohol takes effect. And once they get a little more relaxed and comfortable, it's not uncommon for somebody to hand them a joint and say, hey, have some of this marijuana. It's really good. It'll make you feel better. Well, then that's the start of being on the bus that they're not driving.
And your goal is to, yeah, I'm sorry, but finish that thought.
Oh, I was going to say one beer party leads to another. And eventually it becomes, you know, several times a month they're doing this. And then it's not uncommon at all for somebody to say, hey, here's a hit of acid, try this. Or next thing you know, they're doing pills, Dilaudid, Oxycontin. And those are the things that are going to drag them down. But it's always somebody that they know. It's not a stranger that introduces them to this stuff. It's somebody that they know and they trust.
Boy, time is going by so quickly. There's so much to talk about. And you capture them at that stage before this journey begins. And that's the important thing with what Joseph Kress, K-R-E-S-S, is doing. The website is drugawarenessusa.com. The book, which takes on this topic in a semi-truthful way, it's a very entertaining book, but it's an eye-opener. That's available at his website, authorjosephmkress.com, also Amazon, all those usual places. Retired Lieutenant and Police Detective Joseph Kress, have you been able to continue the education program, educating students after their retirement?
Yes, I have. Unfortunately, though, whenever you deal with people in the education field, they're busy worrying about teaching math, science, reading. And in the health classes, they teach kids to brush their teeth, make sure that they have good oral hygiene and all the rest of that. But I say, why bother teaching them how to brush their teeth if you don't teach them drug education? Because if they use methamphetamine, their teeth are going to turn black, they're going to die, and they're going to fall out anyhow. So, you know, if we don't give these kids a fair deal as far as educating them on the dangers of drug and alcohol addiction, we're not doing them any justice. And once they become addicted, it's really difficult to get somebody that's addicted to drugs or alcohol to get them reformed so that they're not an alcoholic, so that they're not drug dependent. And if you take a look at all of these major cities with people standing out on the street shooting drugs into their arm or they're doing lines of cocaine or they're eating methamphetamine and they're doing all of this stuff. This is the road that young people have to look forward to if they start doing drugs and alcohol in middle and high school, if they don't have any knowledge as to the dangers that it's going to cause.
I know you've gone to government entities looking for funding so you could expand on what you're doing with this program that's proven to be successful. I see on your website where you have school educators that really feel this, for the first time we have a program here that gets attention and gets results. What kind of government entities have you gone to and how successful have you been at getting funding?
I've actually met with governor's offices, governor's staffs, state representatives, congressmen, senators, secretaries of health and human services. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Atlanta, Georgia. I've been to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I've gone all over the place. And as you're sitting there talking to these government officials who stand back and, oh, yeah, your program's really powerful. It's an amazing program, blah, 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 blah. And then when you leave, you never hear from them again. And I don't know what the problem is because last year we only had 109,688 people die of drug overdose in this country.
Wow.
If they don't think that that's a major issue, something's wrong with them and they shouldn't be in the positions that they're in. And when you stop to realize how drastic 9/11 was, and they only lost 2,977 people that day. And that's not to diminish that. That's overwhelming and terrible. But 109,000 people, the year before, there was 107,622 people died of drug overdose in this country. This is a major epidemic. And the people that are drug addicted that just haven't died yet, we're talking tens of millions of people in this country are addicted to drugs or alcohol. And this is a problem because we have to make a major change in our education system. And it just seems the education system doesn't want to recognize that this is the only time in these students' lives that they will get an opportunity to help them and teach them about the powers of drug and alcohol addiction is in middle and high school. And they just overlook it as if, oh, well, that's not my problem. We're teaching them math, science, and reading.
Yes.
Well, and our government, they stand back and say, well, by law, we can't mandate that these school, well, they can mandate that the school needs to, that students need to be in school X number of days a year in order to graduate. Why can't they mandate that there's an opportunity to teach these kids about drug and alcohol addiction, which has become a huge problem? And we're talking a lot of people are dying because our 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that are dying of drug addiction right now because of the introduction of fentanyl and xylazine in our country, those people were in high school just the other day.
And you have their attention. That's what's incredible as I'm watching the videos on the website, drugawarenessusa.com. You see exactly what you are doing. Putting in perspective drug deaths, I see a statistic, 85% of police cases relate to drugs and alcohol. There's a problem right there that's taking up all of the police time. And
absolutely.
You put the 109,000 drug deaths, you compare that to a Boeing 737, that would be like one crashing every day. Just to put that in perspective, every day, imagine going to the news and seeing another Boeing 737 loaded with people crashed. That's what you get over the course of a year with drug deaths in the country. So much to talk about. Time is going by so quickly. Let's focus on, for a second, the book, because the book brings out this, the problem you're talking about. What was the motivation for writing Single-Handed? Why did you write this?
The man that murdered my brother, he was originally sentenced to death penalty, but he never received it because he was there was a 4-year window where the Supreme Court deemed it was unconstitutional. So he still sits in Angola Penitentiary in Louisiana yet today. And the dynamics that impacted my family because of my brother's murder was just overwhelming. And I wanted to tell my story about my brother as a tribute to him and how it moved me to become a police officer, I was kind of intense. I actually had 3 contracts on me to have me murdered because drug dealers did not like me. I was putting pressure on them every day. So fortunately, I'm still here. I feel that it's my obligation to society to try and help kids make those changes before they get involved in drug and alcohol so that they have a good life instead of looking, geez, who can I steal from today so that I can, I'm going over to my grandmother's to steal money because I need to get some cocaine. It's just disgusting how drugs force people to become the person that they really don't have to be if they're not addicted.
Single-handed is a semi-true story of a cop turned vigilante. And how much of this is true? How much should we believe actually happened, and how much do you wish, okay, maybe I'm thinking about going ahead and doing some of this on myself, the vigilante part. How much of this is true?
3/4 of the book is true. The ending of the book is not true. It is something that is not beyond belief. Believe me, it could happen. It could start up any day. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag to ruin anybody who wants to read the book. But I can tell you this. I've had judges, other police officers, district attorneys. I've had all kinds of people involved in the legal system and all kinds of friends read my book. And they say, I couldn't put your book down. I could not put it down. I just had to read the whole book in one sitting, and it has 43, I think, 5-star reviews on Amazon.com.
Excellent.
I wrote this book because of my skills as a sniper, my skills as a police officer, and it's not beyond the realm of possibility that something like this could happen in the ending. In the first 3/4 of the book, is all true. Every word. I put some police stories in there that I was involved in. It isn't even scratching the surface of the number of things that I was involved in, but I've been involved in the arrest of 9 people for murder. I've been involved in shootouts. I was shot in the line of duty. I had a wonderful career. I really did. And I got banged up a little more than I thought I would, but when it's all said and done, I helped a lot of people. I saved a lot of people from really bad situations. And I'm glad that I was a cop. And I'm just now, I feel it's my obligation to try and teach younger people, students, before they become a problem with drug and alcohol. I feel it's my duty to try and educate them. But I'll tell you, honestly, dealing with government entities that have they could do this with the stroke of a pen. And the government accounting office, they found, and they wrote a letter to Senator Dick Durbin in 2002, they found that the $30 billion that they put towards the DARE program showed no significant difference between students who had gone through the program and those who did not go through the program. My program is totally different than DARE. My program is a 9-class curriculum. It's a program where the students see an hour-long video in segments, and there's a pre and a post test. And during these classes, the students get student handouts so they can see firsthand how drugs and alcohol have damaged and impacted other people's lives, and how it's got a strong possibility to literally destroy their life.
You can see all of this on, there are several websites I'll give you for Joseph. The book's website is authorjosephmcrest.com. DrugAwarenessUSA.com is the one that focuses on what he's doing now. He's touching people's lives. He's saving people. He just has the retired at the front of his name now. He's doing it, and he's out there with the book and with the program. I got about 30 seconds left here at the end. I'm reading single-handed. I'm seeing a movie. Is there any talk that this could be made into a movie that would not only be entertaining, but would be very informative and enlightening as well?
Actually, there are a couple companies that are working to see about having this become a movie, because it is so, it's true life, but the ending is so captivating.
Yes.
I mean, People that read my book tell me that they were riveted and couldn't put it down. They wanted to read every single word because it was so realistic, and it, to say the least, my law enforcement skills come to light when you read this book.
The book is Single-Handed. Our guest, Joseph M. Kress, K-R-E-S-S. The website information on the Drug Awareness Program is drugawarenessusa.com. Joseph's website is authorjosephmkress.com. Book available, urlinkpublishing.com, Amazon, all of the usual places. Joseph, time has gone by too quickly. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick, for having me, and I sincerely appreciate the time.
Well, it's our pleasure. It's an important message. Our guest is Joseph M. Kress, K-R-E-S-S. He is a retired lieutenant and police detective working now in an area that's so dear to him, Drug Awareness, the website for that, drugawarenessusa.com. And you can link onto all of this by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.